This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
Against disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein, which means his sexual assault case is headed to trial. The 66-year-old is facing 5 rape and sex assault charges after one assault charge was dismissed earlier. Weinstein's lawyer had argued this morning that the entire case had been tainted by botched police work.
They're all coming back, and they're coming back now. We won.
President Trump speaks in a video there released yesterday about his decision to pull U.S. troops out of Syria. He says today in a tweet it shouldn't be a shock, seeing as he's been campaigning on that issue for years. Still, lawmakers from both parties as well as some top Pentagon officials are urging President Trump to reconsider that decision. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
AAA says more than a third of Americans will be traveling for the holidays. They're anticipating a record-breaking 112.5 million travelers to take to the runways, roads, and rails between now and the 1st of January. Stocks back in negative territory this morning, a day after the Federal Reserve raised interest rates for the fourth and final time this year. The Dow and S&P on track to have their worst December performances since the Great Depression. The Labor Department says that the number of workers filing for first-time unemployment benefits rose slightly last week, 214,000 workers filing 8,000 more than the previous week. A Senate bill to avert a government shutdown tomorrow night is now headed to the House. It will extend funding for the government until February 8th. Drone sightings shut down Gatwick Airport in London for hours last night, stranding tens of thousands of holiday travelers at the airport, as well as many who were supposed to be landing there. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Two U.S. airmen are suing Defense Secretary James Mattis after being discharged from the military because of their HIV-positive status. The Washington Post is reporting the lawsuit filed Wednesday in U.S. District Court in Virginia argues that their discharge last month violates federal law and the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause. The two have tested positive for HIV during Air Force screenings last year. After beginning treatments, their doctors have determined they are physically fit to be deployed. SpaceX and Blue Origin rescheduling their rocket launches for a second time. The two space companies had to abort individual launches back on Tuesday because of a sensor issue and a ground infrastructure problem, respectively. Each launch was then moved to yesterday before they were then canceled again. Blue Origin says it needs more time to explore the issues that detailed, or rather derailed, the earlier attempts. There's no confirmed date for the next try. SpaceX is to give it another go this morning, with a launch time of 9 a.m. Eastern now scheduled. And a petition is circulating online for Disney to give up its trademark on the phrase Hakuna Matata. The Swahili phrase means no problems or no worries. It was popularized in the 1994 movie The Lion King. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
That's what it's all about. It's the way we roll, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I know you've been looking forward to hearing Daniel Krautheimer. Daniel joins us. He's the editor of The Point of It All, a lifetime of great loves and endeavors created and compiled by his father, Charles Krautheimer, before his death. The Point of It All is a powerful collection of the influential columnist's most important work, spanning the personal, the political, and the philosophical. It includes never-before-published speeches and a major new essay about the effect of today's populist movements on the future of global democracy. Daniel Krautheimer, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, Daniel, we've been looking forward to it. You know, as you say in the book, your father, he's your father. And just, I can only imagine what that meant to you. My father, it's been 14 years that we've been apart, and I miss him every day. And I know that is your sentiment as well. And there is the personal side of Charles Krautheimer that only you knew and your family knew, as is appropriate. And there is the other side, the political, the public side of Charles Krautheimer. And this book, The Point of It All, is this, you know, in a sense, it's kind of his opus, is it not?
I think that's a fair way to put it. And I would say, too, that as you correctly point out, there, as to every man and every person, there's what you do outwardly in your life or society, and you try to contribute in your career, and there's who you are personally and how you live your own life. And I think the very unique and powerful thing about this book is that it contains words and entries from my father on both those fronts. Certainly what you'd expect from his writings in politics and world history and philosophy is there, but there's also his personal philosophy and stories and views on what family meant to him and friendship and how he viewed what it is to live a purposeful life. And that's why I found it so moving and powerful to put it together, and I hope everyone who reads it can find that as well.
Exactly. Well, Daniel, you know, for you to be charged with this, you know, what was it for you when your dad said, Daniel, I need you to finish this?
It was and still is a weighty responsibility, that's for sure. And I think I've taken that more seriously and profoundly probably than anything else ever in my life. He had been working on this book for quite some time before his health crisis struck. And so, I mean, obviously it's a collection of his works, so the original works are all his to begin with, but the compilation, the choices, most of that was all my father and all done, but there still was a lot of work to do that he was not able to complete himself. And so he entrusted it to me, and that was a very serious charge. And I viewed my job as at making sure that his voice, his most powerful messages, could all come through in the book, and that also the choices of other columns and essays to put in, the order to put them in, the way to group them, and the way to explain them in the introduction that I wrote, that's what I viewed my job as, because as we mentioned, it's been so many different topics, yet I feel that his core philosophy and thoughts on life unite all of them, everything from politics and world history to his personal life and how you view your place in the universe. And I wanted to make sure that that message laid itself out in a logical and moving progression, and that I could help readers connect those dots and see those sinews of thoughts connecting what would normally be considered such disparate areas. But here I think present a very holistic message of looking at the world.
Exactly. Well, Daniel, I'm glad you brought up his core policy, because and core, I guess compass of life that your father maintained. We talked about, yes, you get the father personality and then you get the public persona. But there was that consistent thread. I mean, anybody that knew him close, Brett Baer, others have made that comment that, that Charles Krautheimer was consistent. There was that thread of reason and conscience and, integrity that wove through everything. It wasn't like he was integrous in this area, maybe not this area. He was very consistent, and I think that's what endeared him to people and what they appreciated about your father.
Yeah, I think it was always very telling to me my whole life that, I grew up and lived most of my life in places where, let's just say the majority of the population was very much on the other end of the aisle from my dad.
Right, exactly.
But all my life, I've heard literally thousands of times people come up to me and say, hey, I almost never agree with your dad, but I still love reading him or listening to him. And I think that aspect of being respected and wanting to listen to someone who's on the opposite side is very telling, that either maybe he convinces you or opens your mind to a different point of view, or he makes you think about your own argument better and understand your own beliefs and sharpens your own instinct. And I think that people respected his points of view because he was so logical and consistent, and because, as you said, he had real honesty about what he was saying. And there's a quote on the back of the book, actually, that he said in an interview once. He said, if you don't say what you think, say it honestly and bluntly, you're betraying your whole life. Mm-hmm. That was said for him in the context of he had once been a doctor. That's how he began his life in a career, and then he changed to go into follow his passion in politics and writing. And at that moment, he said, look, this is where my heart is, where I think I can make the biggest difference, but I'm leaving a profession where I'm literally helping people in suffering, so I better really do this. I better have integrity and take this seriously and not just play around. And I think he really carried that sense of duty and obligation with him his whole life when he was writing and speaking to the country and to the world.
What was it like, growing up with your father, who had a way of taking the complex and making it so simple? I mean, that is a gift from God, I think, to have that ability. And again, I think that's one of the things that drew people, like moths to the flame, so to speak, to your father, because they just could not help themselves. They wanted to hear what your dad said. It's like the E.F. Hutton, commercial, when they speak, everybody listens. And your dad was blessed with that incredible gift.
Yeah, there's, I mentioned in the introduction, there's an Einstein quote that says, if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough. And I think that's something my dad, had quoted to me many times. I think he certainly lived his life and his professional life for sure by that. And he often remarked that to me when I was younger, and he'd help me when I was writing my high school papers or whatever. He'd say, this is too complicated, just say it simply. He'd say, what are you trying to say here? And then I would say out loud my condensed version, say that's what you need to write.
Exactly.
And
we gotta go to break. We'll pick it up from there. More from Daniel Krautheimer, the book The Point of It All, right here on Bill Martinez Live. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Pain in my neck, back, and shoulders has really gotten worse.
Relief for body pain is here with Sunny Bay Heating Pads.
Well, the last thing I want is to take another pill, so what's so good about Sunny Bay Heating Pads?
Sunny Bay Heating Pads, made by Biomed DB Design right here in the USA, come in all sizes. Our extra-large microwavable heating pad for back pain is designed to be large enough to cover your entire back. It's also perfect to wrap around your legs, knees, or shoulder and neck.
But I need to know they're good quality.
Of course. Sunny Bay heating pads and pillows are often an Amazon choice, and it's easy and most affordable when you purchase your Sunny Bay heating pads right from our website, sunshinepillows.com, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hey, a Sunny Bay heating pad
would make a great gift, right?
Yes, and they start at just $19.99, and free shipping is available. So call 253-678-1361 or shop for your Sunny Bay heating pad at sunshinepillows.com.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away, so write this down. DrMillersClinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or DrMillersClinic.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UnveilingThem.com.
For P150, P150GA, P150NY, P150OK, P150TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $150, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-656-4686. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. Plus, you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-656-4686. That's 1-800-656-4686. 1-800-656-4686.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Keep fighting the good fight. Keep letting your light shine.
You know, that's what it's all about, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and continuing to fight the good fight on behalf of all Americans. And I would say not only Americans, but I would say citizens of the world. And I don't mean that in a global sense. I mean it from a sense that there is a higher calling for all of God's creation, and that's our hope for you and for all of us. 19 minutes after the top of the hour right now, our conversation with Daniel Krautheimer continues. Daniel, you know, people I think are, you know, encouraged to hear that your father's website is still up and operating, and if people want to know more and have this sense of connection still with your father, they can connect on his website, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's charleskrauthammer.com. And it's really certainly the place I would point anyone to go to who wants to learn more about my dad or the book. They can find where to get the book and all about it there. But also there's all kinds of other materials about his life, other archives of his work, videos of his speeches and appearances and tributes written to him after he passed. So charleskrauthammer.com is definitely where I would point anyone who wants to learn more about that.
Well, Daniel, one of the anecdotal stories I heard along the way, I think it was from Juan Williams, who talked about a tradition that your father held. I think it was on 4th of July. Where everybody would come out and they would all take turns reading a paragraph or two from the Constitution. The Declaration of Independence. I think that tradition was so, I was so touched by that, I even got confused between the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, but the Declaration of Independence, I mean, that is really the mission statement of what this country is all about, and to do that, I hope that's a tradition that you continue to carry on behalf of your father, because I gotta tell you, when I heard Juan Williams relating that story, I said, wow. Because I'm oftentimes throughout the year, I remind our audience that you should reconnect and read the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution several times a year. You should do this out of routine. And of course, it's natural, like on a 4th of July, to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I saw that clip of Juan that you're talking about, and I was so happy he mentioned it too, because that's something that's meant a lot to me my whole life. And I know my dad loved doing that tradition. It was at our 4th of July party, and we'd read out loud. We'd get in a big circle and read the Declaration of Independence in full. We'd all take turns reading a clause and then all read the conclusion together at the end. Wow. And it was really quite a, you know, it's a moving experience. It can sound a little corny, but, you know, when you read those words in their full and you think how literally revolutionary and groundbreaking and new they were at the time, and take a step back and realize that this isn't something to take for granted. Mm-hmm. It's a very important thing to do. And actually the last couple of years, my father wasn't actually able to host the party himself, and I continued it and have continued that tradition as well. So it's
awesome.
It's absolutely something I plan to continue doing in my life.
Well, if you have a stranger knocking at your door about that time, it could be me saying, hey, look, I want to be there and read a clause. And as you say, where you grew up, it was quite disparate politically. And there's something about reading the Declaration of Independence that drops the pretense and presupposition of Republicans and Democrats. Suddenly, you're transformed back to your early beginning of being an American patriot, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's, you know, my dad saw that it was important to remember that. And I think in his, you know, his politics really, you know, he was conservative, and that's where he thought the best expression of these ideals were. But that was secondary to believing in those ideals that are expressed more clearly and powerfully in the Declaration of Independence than anywhere else. And as you say, it's the mission statement of the country. And as my father put it in a couple articles in the book, in The Point of It All, actually, that it's, you know, to a degree, it's our faith, it's our creed in America to believe in these things. And he held that very deeply at his core. And he thought very methodically about it. If you're true to believing these things, then how do you express them? And I think he could recognize that people might interpret them differently when you act them out in government. And that's how we have different sides of the political spectrum. But he always recognized that was the core. And there's one piece in the book, probably my favorite, called Constitutions, Conservatism, and the Genius of the Founders, that talks so much about this and that ends on a note that always truly makes me happy and puts a smile on my face, where he talks about his belief in these ideas, his faith in America and the American idea and the American people and a sense of trust and confidence he has that kind of bedrock decency, as he puts it, of the American people that will get things right eventually, will redeem our history wherever we make mistakes, and will on spot continue to inspire each other. And that's something that in my moments when I have doubts or frustrations or worries, it actually gives me hope and solace. So I hope others can find that as well in the book.
Well, it's amazing when you think about it, Daniel, in that context, is that here we are 240 plus years later. You know, the life of this document continues, and other patriots along the way, and to your father, to you, myself, and our listeners, you know, this is our sentiment. And I know when they read that section, they'll be smiling with you, you know, because it is touching, and it just... You go, wow, you know, there are other people that feel the way I do and see the, you know, the blessing that God gave us by, you know, for a perfect time to get this rebel group of patriots together and, you know, to formulate off a white sheet of paper the Declaration of Independence and then from there the Constitution. I don't know how you do this without the hand of God. Which is what our first president said.
Yeah, there's a, you know, in the book, my dad talks about exactly this. And he says, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically says, look, I'm not a particularly, you know, religious person in a traditional sense, but there is, I do, you know, he does have a sense of providence, the word he used about American history, that, as he put it, you know, the fact that at the edge of the civilized world 250 years ago, there could be the assemblage of the greatest group of political geniuses in the history of mankind, that they could have debated and discovered and written down these principles, these ideas, and then written out its enactment into human affairs with the Constitution, is just, you know, it's either the most extraordinary stroke of luck in human history, or there's something greater at play. And I think he had a true reverence for that history. And those ideals at the center of America, and it is clear through all his thoughts and writing in this book and in all his writings throughout his career.
Right. Well, Daniel, as his son, what was, you know, the most important thing you can hold to, you know, from your father?
Well, that, I think, is, there are too many things I could answer with that. Mm-hmm. But I would say, you know, above all, he was my dad, and that there's so much encapsulated in that I couldn't express in a thousand interviews or a thousand words. But you know, so much of who I am is from him, including everything we've talked about.
Exactly.
But no, I'll be forever grateful and feel as lucky as anyone on earth to have had him as my father.
Yeah, amen. For the audience, the key takeaway for, you know, the point of it all?
I think it's to find your own path, your own meaning and purpose in life, what matters to you, and to recognize that that's a gift and that we should be grateful that we live in a society that allows us all to choose and to have that freedom, and that we have responsibilities to uphold a successful politics, as my father put it. So it's
exactly.
Personal and the political, and they're all connected.
Very well said. He's the editor of The Point of It All, A Lifetime of Great Loves and Endeavors. Daniel Krautheimer has been with us to talk about his father's book, The Point of It All, A Lifetime of Great Loves and Endeavors by Charles Krautheimer and, of course, Daniel Krautheimer. Daniel, thank you so much. Have a great holiday. Okay, appreciate it. Take care.
Yeah, you too, Bill. Thank you for having me.
This report is brought to you by Facebook Marketplace. The holidays are upon us, and while it may be the most wonderful time of the year, between decorating, finding the perfect presents, and setting the dinner table, it can also be the most expensive. But with Facebook Marketplace, you can earn extra money and find the best deals right in your neighborhood. More than 1 in 3 people on Facebook in the U.S. use Marketplace every month, making it easy to buy and sell items. Last-minute shoppers can find one-of-a-kind gifts in their local area. Bonus, no shipping required.
Robin Moreno is a lifestyle expert, author, and blogger.
You can also earn extra money by selling items you no longer need. Just snap a few photos of your item, write a brief description, and name your price.
This holiday season, Marketplace is a one-stop shop to get your shopping done. For more information, visit facebook.com/marketplace. That's facebook.com/marketplace.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Moments ago in New York City, a Manhattan judge refused to dismiss criminal charges against disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein, which means his sexual assault case is headed to trial. The 66-year-old is facing 5 rape and sex assault charges after one assault charge was dismissed earlier. Weinstein's lawyer had argued this morning that the entire case had been tainted by botched police work.
They're all coming back, and they're coming back now. We won.
President Trump speaks in a video there released yesterday about his decision to pull U.S. troops out of Syria. He says today in a tweet it shouldn't be a shock, seeing as he's been campaigning on that issue for years. Still, lawmakers from both parties, as well as some top Pentagon officials, are urging President Trump to reconsider that decision. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let us receive the King.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's the way you like us, fresh and independent every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you as we remain on government shutdown watch to see what will happen. Will the president flinch here? Democrats feel pretty confident that they've got the Republicans right where they want them. But I would say do not be so overconfident, because there's a lot of pushback from conservative elements of the party that are saying, look, we are behind you 100%, Mr. President. And though this is a difficult situation, I mean, you did say earlier you reluctantly signed a appropriations bill that was very hard for you to take when you're sitting there trying to cut back government expenditures, get our hand on the budget, and the Democrats, kind of forced this on you because you had to compromise. If you wanted the military budget, then you had to go along with all their Christmas ornaments, right? But we'll see where the buck's going to stop and if we will realize a government shutdown or not. Justin Torreson's with us right now, a D.C.-based attorney, speaking of which, only because it's the Beltway, not because of any direct affiliation. He's a member of the Federalist Society. Justin, what say you regarding this, potential shutdown of our government? Does the president have enough political capital? Does he have the leadership to take this country, though it's not as big a government shutdown as would normally been, because what do we got, 2/3 of the budget already approved? But nonetheless, there are going to be some people potentially that will take a hit over the holidays if it's shut down.
Well, it's certainly
certainly looks like government shutdown is, it seems like it's on track to not happen. The word is that the House will move on a CR today. The question, I guess, is what's going to be in that CR, and especially what's not going to be in that CR, which is funding for a border wall.
Mm-hmm.
So as of right now, it looks like that bill is going to pass the House today. So if there's going to be some kind of adjustment, it's going to have to probably happen soon. I don't, you know, the president's most recent tweets seem to be not quite throwing in the towel, but it sounds like he may sign it.
Well, the most recent one that I got, I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, today we spend our days watching the president's tweets these days. But it seems to me he's none too happy that there's no allowance for a border wall whatsoever. You know, let's just move forward. We're going to kick the can down the road. And to me, I've got to believe, I mean, this is all about negotiating. What would you rather negotiate? Would you much rather negotiate even with a lame duck Congress and Nancy Pelosi as a minority leader versus Democrats under the new, you know, this new cycle where Nancy Pelosi is the leader, and boy, they're going to be really empowered. I mean, already they're beating their chest and saying, look, they're going to come into leadership and, you know, kick butt and take names, you know?
That's right. It seems unlikely that if a CR, you know, passes now, I don't think the negotiations get easier after February 8th when the CR that the current CR bill funds the government through. It doesn't get easier to get border wall funding and the other presidential priorities then than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that it would be, you know, it would be walking backwards to sign a CR bill in terms of trying to get a hold of those presidential priorities.
I mean, everything came to, you know, crashing up against the wall here, not just the other wall, but just in time and the whole deal. I mean, judicial nominees that should have already been in place have been dragged. That's not going to happen. And the chances of it happening in the next session, hardly unlikely. The Democrats have done everything they can to resist. So look, at these are the cards the president has been dealt, and it's going to be up to him how he wants to play those. But, you know, frankly, for me, and of course, it's easy for me to say I'm not the one that, you know, my paycheck is lying in the balance here. You know, I don't want anybody to be without money. Of course, like any other government shutdown, the people always get their money after the fact. So maybe they take a short-term loan, you know, use their credit cards, however they handle this. I mean, it's not for me to dictate what they're going to be faced with. But, wow, I mean, it seems to we seem to come to this point all the time. And, you know, and we are concerned about people, and especially during the holidays. I mean, these are real lives and real stories. But meanwhile, you know, we've got a government that, you know, has been running amok. We've got national security issues. And if now, when do we take care of this problem? Because the way the Democrats have been posturing, they don't seem to be wanting to come to the table here and offer any kind of solutions other than, you know, we want to impeach the president and do everything we can to get in his way and not give him any credit for anything that would be positive for the American people.
Yeah, no, there's been a definite hardening of the positions. Democrats feel empowered, and obviously they, you know, they would feel empowered, right? They picked mm-hmm. up 40 seats in the House. They're looking at 2020, a much more favorable Senate map. They're feeling like they've got the hot hand right now, and that's mm-hmm. going to make it difficult to pass presidential priorities. That they're, you know, they're not in a mood to deal. That is definitely true. Not in a mood to deal.
And in light of, you know, let's add the Mueller investigation, like it or not, you got the 40 seat pickup, even though there's things that are suspicious, and we can talk about voter fraud a whole other time later on, which I think is a huge issue. It's that 8,000-pound gorilla that I don't understand why Republicans aren't yelling and screaming more about what went on. I mean, I was from California, Justin. I moved out of there 4 years ago and lived in Huntington Beach, which was a very red state area where Dana Rohrabacher was. You tell me how in one voting cycle a voting district like Huntington Beach, California, gets flipped absolutely blue and Dana Rohrabacher is voted out without some shenanigans taking place. It just mathematically, you know, statistically, you know, considering it, this just doesn't happen unless somebody's playing some games here.
Well, there's certainly, you know, there were obvious tremendous demographic changes in some of these districts, especially, you know, those Orange County districts in California. So there's issues to be concerned about both politically and in terms of electoral integrity.
Right.
But yeah, it's a concerning time. It's got to be a concerning time for the administration.
Well, you talk about election integrity. I mean, we've wasted a cycle here with the Mueller investigation chasing down windmills, so to speak. That's my perspective. Like Don Quixote, blaming everything on Russia, and he's had to step over all these other domestic violations that have taken place from the Democrats, Hillary Clinton et al., even including former president of the United States, but then president Barack Obama. All that stuff's being ignored. People getting immunity on the left, on the right. Well, we think he lied. Maybe he didn't lie. We're not sure. You're going to jail, buddy. I mean, your life is ruined. And Main Street America is getting on this and they're saying, what is wrong with our government?
Yeah, kind of uncertainty relating to the Mueller investigation and also to, you know, whatever is happening in the Southern District of New York relating to campaign finance issues. It's clearly been an albatross for the administration. It's clearly going to continue to be
from day one.
And a heartache.
Day one, he's had nothing but albatrosses. And, you know, the guy's trying to, you know, operate as the chief executive officer for our country. I think there's some, you know, some highlights here in the 2 years, considering that he's had to drag all this other stuff behind him, this investigation. And it's like, I'm not even sure Mueller and, the FBI at all have a consideration of saying, if this is something to look into it, let's look into it, be about our business, get it done, move on so that we can get this country back on track. No, let's be antithetical and let's cause problems and be a detriment and part of the resistance that's been set up by the deep state and the Democratic Party. Just when we come back, I promise, I want to talk about this, this big question that the census wants to ask, and somehow it's a problem. Stay with us. More from Justin Torres after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$6,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go. With water filtration systems of every size for every budget, now GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
I love the music of the season, don't you? Christmas music, I'll tell you, I could hear it all the time. Welcome back, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Justin Torres continues with us, a D.C.-based attorney, a member of the Federalist Society. And what Justin is asking is something that many in Main Street America are asking, that when the census is being taken place, why can't we ask, is this person a citizen of the United States? When, you know, for many years, that was a standard question, Justin. Why did that stop being a standard question, and why is that a problem in 2019 to ask that question?
Well, you're right. It has been a standard question. It was basically asked in every census that was performed throughout the 19th century, throughout the 20th century, up until about 1950. And then it actually gets asked every year for about the past 15 years on what's called the American Community Survey, which is a survey that gets sent out by the census every year to about one in every 40 American households. So it's a question with a pretty long vetted history. There's a, you know, a long vetted history of people answering this question, but lawsuits have been filed all around the country. In New York is the one that's furthest along. We'll probably get a decision in the next couple of weeks here, arguing that this question is illegal because it is motivated by racial bias, and it's going to cause an undercount of votes, or an undercount of illegal immigrants in especially in states that have pretty significant populations like California, New York, Illinois, Texas, Florida, Arizona. And because there'll be an undercount, there will be those states will lose out in reapportionment that happens for Congress after 2020.
Yes.
So that's the argument being made.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, people do that which they get rewarded for. So, you know, the jig is up. I mean, we want as many things to count, and why would you even allow a non-citizen to have a voice in this situation? And I was surprised. I mean, the Supreme Court case
backed this up and said that non-citizens should have a say in our government. Did they not?
They did. In a case called Evenwell, several years back, it upheld the notion that congressional apportionment should be based on total population and not simply on citizen population. So there's the state of Alabama has filed suit again to try to challenge that decision and challenge that principle, but they're going to have, I think, some tough headwinds. So the question is, why can't we ask this question then on the census when what we're really trying to do, what the Trump administration is trying to do, is to get a handle on the extent of that population and just, you know, how big this population is. That's a question that we surprisingly do not really have a very good sense of in America.
No question. I mean, for the longest time, Justin, people said, oh, we've got about 11 million illegals, and that's been creeping up, 13, some saying now as many as 30. I mean, who knows? I mean, just put your finger up in the air and see how the wind blows and come up with a number. It's about as good as anybody else here. But, you know, getting back to the fundamental of this, I mean, is it just an accepted deal that we just say, okay, fine, you know, if there's anybody that's breathing in that state or that voting district, we just need to count them regardless of their legal or illegal, because as soon as they're counted and they have an effect on, you know, their representation in D.C., well, what are you going to do? I mean, you're going to promote more illegality and more of the same, are you not?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is probably true. That is currently the state of the law. You know, recently reaffirmed in the Evenwell case, it is an outcome that doesn't make a lot of intuitive sense to a lot of people, that you would count total population towards something that's fundamentally political, that goes to the political process that, you know, non-citizens are to a greater or lesser degree, you know, not a part of in terms of congressional apportionment. But that is the law currently. And that's the argument that many people who oppose this question are making. Well, it doesn't matter because they're going to count, period. So why ask them a question that may cause them to not answer the question and therefore cause an undercount? And the response is, well, listen, first of all, we don't have any evidence that it's just speculation that people are not going to answer this question. But
it's an honor question, right?
It is a little bit. I mean, the census is a very sophisticated survey. And so they do have ways of trying to test answers and understand what the, you know, what the incorrect response rate is, what the, you know, kind of the fib rate is. There are ways that they can do that, and you know, it's a very sophisticated poll. But ultimately, at the end of the day, yeah, there's on an individual level, it would be very difficult to assess whether someone is telling the truth to that answer or not. You can do it on an aggregate basis, but probably not on an individual basis.
Well, Justin, it seems like, again, the jig is fixed here, and if it's fixed, okay, why bother to ask the question? I can appreciate that. But, oh, yeah, right, we've got fair-minded and law-abiding citizens who are saying, heck no. I mean, this question needs to be asked. We need to get a handle on this. You know, of course, Trump's being blamed for everything, no matter what it is. But still, you know, Main Street America is saying, hey, I want to make sure my dollars are going to support, you know, citizens of this country and things that we have common interests, not people who come in illegally. God only knows where their allegiance lies. I mean, we just had migrants storming our borders with flags from their home country. How does that give you any kind of suggestion whatsoever in, you know, the main question that you ask anybody that comes through the border? Are you friend or foe?
Well, it's, you know, there are, besides apportionment, it is the case that this data could be useful in various kinds of instances. When you think about, for example, federal block granting, right, where the federal government is paying on a per capita basis to states for things like criminal justice programs, Medicaid, Medicare block granting, health care block granting, things like that. But this kind of data could be useful in understanding and perhaps adjusting some of those formula. So there's, you know, besides apportionment, which may or may not be a closed deal at this point, there are reasons to be asking this question and trying to understand the size of and the distribution of this population.
Well, and when you block rent like this, I mean, you're overlooking what the causes are. You're saying, okay, look, you've got a preponderance of violence taking place in your state. Well, you know, forget about the fact that you have done everything you can to turn your state into a sanctuary state and promoted this misbehavior and this kind of illegality. That's okay. The people will pay for it. I mean, how is that right?
No, it's very difficult, to make good policy on the basis of inadequate data. So, good data is always the first step to good policy. And right now, we just don't have good data.
It's ridiculous, though, Justin. We're going into this with our eyes open. We know it's bad data. We know it's prejudicial data, that this is flawed to begin with, but we continue to move forward and, I believe, irresponsibly assign the people's money to things that are flawed. This is so wrong on so many levels.
No, it's absolutely true. There's when you really begin to get at the kind of the inadequacy of the data and the way the census can get used to kind of tweak these formula, it can become surprising and counterintuitive and maybe a little bit infuriating, without a doubt.
Well, yeah, I mean, to me, it's not even so much counterintuitive as much as it's purposeful, is it not?
Well, it is. I mean, certainly, people on the other side of this issue of the question of whether or not we should be asking the citizenship question, they certainly understand that there's money at stake, there's political power at stake, and there are potential outcomes that they don't like if the data is sort of uncovered and understood. That's why they're fighting so hard. So certainly, where you see effort, you see interests at stake. And there's
exactly
a lot of effort going into trying to stop the asking of this question on the census.
You see, this all goes, to me, from the same source. Once you abandon the rule of law and you suspend reason, because you got to really twist yourself into some sort of pretzel logic to buy into this kind of rationale. You got to be so ideologically fixed and self-interested that you're willing to compromise the greater good of the citizens of this country in order to do this. And it's like, whoa, we're setting ourselves up here, Justin, are we not? And it's not just in this issue. It's immigration. It's the wall. It's border security. It's everything that is America is all being compromised because we purposely turn our backs on the rule of law.
Well, one of the things that is fascinating about this issue is this particular issue is the extent to which, I mean, the statutes that govern the census really make it very clear that the Secretary of Commerce, a man named Wilbur Ross, who has ultimate authority over the Census Bureau, the Secretary of Commerce has basically unfettered discretion given to him by Congress to determine the form and content of the census is what the statute says. It's about a 100-year-old statute.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty wide open.
So that's where we need to put the pressure at this point. Justin, we got to call it a wrap. Thank you for your time. Look forward to having you back. Justin Torres, I'm Bill Martinez.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. Join American Cannabis Summit online at acs2018.com. Attendance is free. That's acs2018.com.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses.
18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots, and like my